Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Look up. Look way up. He sits alone atop the standings. Bob McCown and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Very exciting. It's hour number three of Primetime Sports for this Friday, August the 7th, 2015, and we got baseball fever. And it's been a long time, the Lord knows.
I have a fever, and the only thing that can cure it is more cowbell.
That's Elliot Friedman making references I don't understand.
Saturday Night Live.
Mike Zeisberger is here, and Matt Devlin is with us as well. Drew Hutchison, we've touched on him and where he is as we continue our baseball conversation. We may get to other things later on, but on this show, you never know. Nobody can have any expectations that Drew Hutchison can solve this over the next 6 or 7 weeks. One of the questions that has fallen kind of off the charts the last 10 days because of the excitement of the acquisition of the five players and the performance of the ball club, et cetera, is the possibility of sending Drew Hutchison down and finding somebody else as your fifth starter. One of the advantages that the Blue Jays are about to have, and this has been written about and talked a little bit about, but we haven't dwelled on it a lot, is they have a bunch of off days coming up. They probably will play fewer games than almost any other team over the next few weeks. And those off days afford you the luxury of being able to shorten your rotation.
Yep.
And I'm not saying you can't go with four the rest of the year, but if you calculate where they are, if the top four guys in the rotation each get 11 starts, it's likely that Hutchison gets seven. You can work the schedule out so that he doesn't pitch more than seven times. Now, can you avoid him pitching on the road? I don't think so. But you can certainly limit his appearances on the road. Is it even worth exploring in a scenario where now every game is critical? 2 weeks ago, every game wasn't critical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were a game under 500. They were kind of floundering about. They weren't out of it, but they weren't really in it. Does the organization consider that?
I think they do, and I think it goes beyond that. I mean, we're talking about home versus road, but in the first hour I mentioned his performance the other night. I mean, he's, you know, if this keeps up, he's going to be struggling no matter where he pitches. And at some point, you know, is it going to be so close that you want to take a chance with him for if there's five starts left or whatever? I mean, let me throw it out to you guys. If not him, then who?
Well, would anybody be surprised if Anthopoulos does anything else?
No,
I mean, you're all in.
I think he's looking.
Yeah, I mean, your chips are all in. You're at the table. You're all in.
We talked during the break about a trade today between the Indians and the Braves, where
$10 million got exchanged.
$10 million, and it was Michael Bourne.
And Michael Bourne and Nick Swisher and $10 million for Chris Johnson.
Yep.
Indians to Atlanta and back.
Fine reporter, that Chris Johnson.
You know, I don't think it would surprise anybody if this question about Hutchison was moot by August 31st. I mean, don't forget, you're also talking about an organization that once traded.
Meaning they acquire somebody.
Meaning they acquire somebody. Yeah. Would that, you're talking about an organization once under Pat Gillick that traded for Bud Black on September the 21st so we could pitch one start for the Blue Jays. You know, I mean, I don't.
And we're not talking about a guy at the top of the rotation.
No,
either.
You're looking for a depth
number
guy.
Four but, guy.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, he's young, Drew Hutchison. You like him. You know, they like him, right? They think he's got big upside. You go back to last year, and the feeling is that it was almost reverse. Couldn't get the job done at home, was able to do it on the road. As you know from talking to Pete Walker, the pitching coach, and whether you talk to John Gibbons or Pete Walker, everybody's puzzled as to why he's been able to have this success at home in comparison to the road. You definitely look at this situation and you say, okay, where can we get him starts at home? And are you able to manipulate and manufacture the rotation with the off days that are coming up to put him in a situation that's going to benefit your team? And you try to manage that, and then you get to the point where potentially you say, you know what, he's going to be moved to the bullpen. You know, if we're talking about the postseason, he's a guy that's going out there. And so, you know, you could potentially see a scenario where, depending upon how the rotation is set up, depending upon how they're doing, depending upon where they are in the postseason picture, depending upon once the postseason begins, that, you know, he would be somebody that would be out there as well.
But I'm talking about even before that, Matt. I'm talking about doing something so that you don't have to face the prospect of, you know, closing your eyes for those seven starts that he's projected to make.
If you are able to look at this and put him on a path where down the stretch you are able to see him on the mound at home instead of on the road, you're going to do it. But it just makes sense.
He's got to improve no matter where he pitches, because he didn't pitch well the other day.
And the bats bailed him out. But that was one time.
No, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So you're going to bank on the fact that there's a trend here, and the trend is that at home he pitches well. Unless all of a sudden you start to see it go sideways, sideways at home, he's getting an immense amount of run support. We saw that the other day. Why is it? Right.
You know, well, his is extraordinary.
R.A. Dickey wasn't for a while, right?
No, you're right.
Yeah. You know, R.A. Dickey was getting zero run support. So I do think that you take a look at, you know, Hutchinson, and you say to yourself, you know, okay, you know, with Hutch, we're going to try to put him in a situation where he's going to pitch at home. And then, you know, if we can kind of work around that in the immediate, you know, standpoint, then that's what you try to do. Because you want to win, as you were pointing out. Hey, every game counts.
Yep.
And, you know, this was something that was, you know, discussed right around the All-Star, you know, as well, right? You know, you're coming out of there. You know, how are you going to set up the rotation? Well, you want to set up the rotation. They've done it with Burley. They've done it with R.A. Dickey. You're going to do it with Drew Hutchison as well. You're going to put Hutchison in a situation where, hey, trends, track record, outings at home have been better until Bob and Mike jinxed him the other day. You know, you're going to put him on the mound.
Blame me.
Well, I'm just saying, you guys jinxed him. You know, I mean, I'm just saying.
You're all in. The Blue Jays are all in. They are all in. Like, you don't know. I mean, we've all covered sports long enough to know that there are no guarantees. You think you have the best team. You look at this year and say, this is our year. But there's, you know, it's so freaking hard to win now in every sport.
Yeah.
When you have a chance like this, you don't go in.
You leave nothing to chance.
Yeah. No. You know, and you know what? Alex is in 100%. Othello's in 100%. So he's got to make sure his roster's in 100%. And that's why nobody would be surprised. I don't like that camera angle, Jen. It shows my bald spot on the top of my head.
me too.
Grow some hair.
I look at this and I say, you've got to be convinced that your team is 100% there. And that is why there is no doubt, he's not finished.
Look at the day after they got Price. I mean, you know, everybody's like walking around, all the baseball fans around town with their chests pumped out. Like, look what the Jays have done. Nobody expected him to come the next day and get Lowe and Revere. And he just keeps adding and adding and adding. And I agree with Elliot. I mean, I think he's working the phones right now.
Yeah.
And will continue to.
I agree with that for sure. And it's something that I, you know, really thought about a lot last year, and how the game has changed, not only baseball, but a lot of sports. You know, there's windows of opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. More. Yeah, everybody talks about, hey, we want, quote unquote, organic growth, and we want this and we want that. But if you look at the landscape okay? Whether it's the NBA, NFL, NHL, you know, baseball, if you look at your team, you look at your division, you look at the standings, and you say to yourself, you know what, is there a window of opportunity exactly. here to do something? Okay, we have, and I give Alex credit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give him credit to do the deals that we've just spent the last hour plus talking about, and we've talked about now for the last couple of weeks. He saw a window of opportunity. He said, you know what? I'm going to go break through this, and I'm going to keep going forward. Because we all want to talk about, well, what's happening down on the farm, and, you know, what's happening? Are we getting organic growth? Because when you build a baseball team, you start up the middle catcher, shortstop, center fielder, you got to have a starter, you got to have this, and then you fill it in the corners. And when you're building a hockey team, you got to have a goalie, and then you get the back end, and then you got to be strong up the middle. I've been here for 7 years. We've talked about the Leafs with the number one centerman now for seven consecutive years, and they don't have one yet, right? And you know, basketball, that conversation has changed because you always talked about before you got to have a one and a five, you got to have a point guard, you got to have a big man. Now, you know, small ball, this, that, you got to have a two, you got to have a three. Well, guess what? Alex said there's a window of opportunity here, and I'm going to bust through it.
Yeah.
Good on him for doing it.
But yeah. I think the beauty of what...
And pulling it off.
But what happened with Alex is that the Tulowitzki thing came up was something, as we've talked about, that he brought up from... back in the off season, the price thing just came up on the Wednesday and he made it on the Thursday. So he was willing to be flexible. He said that the Sunday before the trade deadline, he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to do anything. But once that momentum started snowballing,
you would acknowledge that some of that can be rhetoric. You know, some of that is general manager.
You know what happened, Bob? I think that it goes to back what we talked about earlier. He laid the groundwork. He was persistent. And finally, those other teams came around. Now,
and included a player, noted
Alex,
earlier that
he agreed to do Hoffman, right. and finally,
if we
Dombrowski
make this
said
trade,
it's time.
Please tell us. Don't phone me again.
But I will say this: if there was one position player that you thought that, how are you going to move him? Even if you included Hoffman, how are you moving Jose Reyes in that amount of money?
You know what?
Then he was able to do it.
I didn't think it was possible.
Matt, I don't believe that anymore. Like, how many contracts have you ever seen in sports where you say you're never going to move that guy?
For cap space. For cap space.
We thought we didn't think you could move Vernon Wells.
We're not dealing with cap space.
Yeah.
For cap space, I agree with you.
Yeah.
In cap space, in that environment, whether it's the NHL, whether it's the NBA, when you're looking at something like, okay, somebody's trying to go in a different direction and they want that number off of their books, I get that. I agree. But in this environment with the Rockies,
you know, it's a very fair quote. It's a very fair point because there's no cap space we're talking about here. But I remember last year we were talking about Matt Kemp with the Dodgers. There's no way they're going to be able to trade Matt Kemp, and they got him to San Diego. I just find now that you always think there's a guy who can never get traded, and somebody will always do
well,
it.
Yeah.
But to the point about Reyes, I mean, that's what we think here. But it's been interesting. The perception from south of the border from some of the national guys who still perceive Reyes. Like I heard one guy on a national syndicated television program south of the border.
You got to stop watching and listening to those syndicated shows. That's you've brought that up
now
a couple of times.
No. I said, okay, well, television too, but whatever. they were talking about how good Reyes is defensively. This was on the broadcast of a Rockies game. Okay.
Well, that's
how
because,
good he was.
That's because they're selling it to their fans or screaming bloody murder.
Yeah, but it was the
them.
Opposing broadcasters. How good this guy was. They still see the guy, a lot of these people, that played for the Mets. They didn't see him every day.
Sure. Nationally, guys don't watch American League baseball games. You know, they don't, and they don't really follow it. I mean, and that's understandable.
And baseball, hockey, and we all know this, football, basketball. You really have to get a sense when you're there every day, right?
Yes.
When you're there every day, it changes everything.
Really
yeah. So, you know what? You can look at numbers and you can, you know, you can read stories, but as you know, but when you're there, when you see it, when you are picking up the phone or guys are calling you saying, hey, this is happening, you know, that's when you get a sense of truly what's going on.
Yeah. And not to reflect on the Tulowitzki deal because it's done now, but. Can you see how the general manager in Colorado made up his mind that this deal would be a good deal for Colorado? And the answer, to me, the answer was, and we haven't seen this yet, is Tulowitzki has had injury issues.
Right.
I don't know when the last time he is. Would he play a full season? Has he ever?
Oh, yeah. He's played a full season before.
But he's had injury issues.
Yes, he has. Yep.
And that kind of thing, historically, I've observed, can sit in a general manager's craw.
Yep.
It mitigates the impact of that player, the value of that player. Now, we would sit here and argue, well, you just traded a guy who may or may not be injury prone for a guy who
definitely
is injury prone.
Yep.
So we don't know exactly what you got there.
That's right.
But, you know, a lot of times it's nothing more than the grass is greener.
Well, here's the thing. If you go back, the last time he played more than 125 games was 2013. 2012, he played 47.
Yeah, he's got 155. Yeah. He's got 151. He's got 143. But since 2011, he's been down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to, for us, post facto, to quantify what was it about Troy Tulowitzki you didn't like and that about Jose Reyes that you liked better.
It's an excellent point.
Yeah.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. You know what? You know, you have a general manager that's probably looking at him saying, okay, this guy's been, you know, he's 30 years of age and his, you know, the amount of games in which he's playing, you know, haven't been around for last
year. He's breaking down. Right. Yep. I want to get rid of him before he has no market value.
But
blah,
he's
blah.
He's healthy
right now. I got a crappy
team.
Yep.
He's healthy right now. His market value may be, let's get something for him before he breaks down again.
Yeah. He's got longer term. I mean, that's what they get for
Reyes. They get 4 years with him.
They save term.
Yeah.
Like Tulowitzki signed until he's 36, so he signed for 6 more years.
Oh, 6 more?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 4 more.
And there's a team option at age 36.
Wow.
So, you know, that's what they get. They get they get Reyes, they get Hoffman, they get term. That's what the difference is. And, you know, that's the chance you take.
Moving away from the team on the field to the other issue at hand that is in the eyes of many fans is kind of a back burner thing now. It was more of a front burner thing a while ago, but Paul Beeston's time in Toronto as the president of the Blue Jays is winding down. He will be finished on October 31st. Rogers must find a replacement. Apparently, they tried to do it last year and didn't tell anybody, or at least didn't tell Beeston. But that ship has now sailed and is back in port. And but this is imminent. Complicating matters is the fact that Alex Anthopoulos, their general manager, coincidentally, doesn't have a contract for next year. There's a whole boatload of conversations that need to take place here on these matters. Number one, is there any doubt in anybody's mind that Alex Anthopoulos has now done enough to earn a contract extension?
No.
Anyone? Anyone think he hasn't?
Surprised they haven't just given him one now.
I think the jump in the business in terms of the TV ratings and the ticket sales, to me, is the final act that says
definitely
that this guy can do the job.
At least the realization on the part of ownership that maybe they can't remember 92 and 93. This company, I don't think, owned the Blue Jays in 92.
No, it was back then. It was
Interbrew.
I thought it was before.
I think it might be.
It's still the Bats then.
Yeah, I think so.
So, how do you maneuver this executive environment that you are about to delve into and perhaps should be delving into right now? You need a president. In the ideal scenario, I think we'd all agree, you bring the president in first, he decides who his subservients are.
Wait. What if the president's Anthopoulos?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
You talked about this earlier.
We talked about it. I think you think about it. The part of what I know about Alex is that he's a baseball geek. Is he a business guy? I think he's a smart guy. I think he could probably assimilate himself into almost any environment, but he has no practical experience at it.
Well, okay, this is how I would counter that argument. I would say you can always hire a VP of business or now your most marketable front office employee is Alex Anthopoulos.
Yep.
His popularity is off the charts. Yeah. And if this team continues to go the way it's going, he will continue to be your most powerful, your most beloved front office employee. You can say, okay, we're going to hire a vice president of business whose job it is to help sell Alex Anthopoulos. And he comes in as the president. He kisses the babies. He shakes the hand. And this other VP can close the deal.
That's all well and good. But there are responsibilities of the president in terms of meetings, in terms of representing the board, in this case Rogers, at league functions, league meetings, that take time away from being a general manager. And I'm not sure I want my general manager of my baseball team to have the dual role. I understand Dave Dombrowski has done it. You can argue whether he's done a good job at it. Mm-hmm. I know there are other people who have done it. But in most successful organizations, there is a division between church and state.
Okay. Second question is, what if Anthopoulos says, I want the president's title because I don't want somebody coming over top of me who I might not be able to get along
with? Well, to me, that is the component that if everybody here agrees Alex has done enough, right, for a contract extension,
mm-hmm.
that means that the person that you're going to bring in has to understand that Alex is going to remain in that position.
Well, you better get him under contract quick, because I'll tell you what, if August 31st comes along,
there'll be another team.
The phone is going to be ringing for Alex Anthopoulos, and it won't be just one call. It'll be multiple calls, and they'll throw a lot more money at him than the Toronto Blue Jays are prepared to throw, or Rogers is prepared to throw at him. I'm pretty sure of that. And maybe Alex Anthopoulos, with the departure of his good friend and benefactor Paul Beeston departing, may have already decided, screw these guys, I'm out of here at the end of the year.
Which is why, as callers brought up earlier, it makes total sense for you to be in that position. The combination of you and then your Stony Ridge wine being sold at the ballpark home run.
They wanted too much money for the deal.
There's a third
grand slam.
Are you going home with a case for bringing that up or what?
That he was angling for the free case.
Good job.
There's nothing free. I know that.
The third solution to this is if you hire a different president, it's written into Anthopoulos' contract that he reports solely to the board. He does not report to the president.
But if you're a president, do you agree to that? Do you agree to that if you're a president?
Yeah, but you know what? It all comes down to who's got the leverage.
A lot of it has to do with, and so many organizations are doing this, as we all know. You have a baseball side and a business side. You have a basketball side and a business side. You have a hockey side.
Everybody does that, yes.
Yep. And so you can have a president, right, very much like what Elliot, suggested, that Alex says, I want to be the president. And I want a gentleman, this is my guy on the business side. You're going to be, COO, chief operating officer, executive vice president and COO. And these are your responsibilities. This is what you're going to handle. And you map out, where exactly you need to be. Specifically as far as, meetings and those sort of different things, if you feel obligated that you have to be there. I think it can be done.
I don't know whether Alex would want it. I understand the job security thing, but I think he's a baseball guy. He's never suggested to me, at least, any aspirations to be anything other than a baseball guy. And a year ago, we could have sat here and said, would you re-sign Alex Anthopoulos? Well, I don't know. I'm going to give him another year.
How about
2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Maybe 3 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, he's going to be a red-hot commodity in the free agent general manager's market if they let him get to it. But the dilemma, again, that you have is absent making the decision to ask Alex Anthopoulos to hold the dual job.
Yeah.
If you go out and get somebody else, Are you going to sign your general manager before you do it? It's a, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do.
Here, and here's the way I round it, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. I know that there's a general manager in the NHL who has it in his contract that he has the ability to make all decisions except a trade of two particular players on his team.
Who's he's a general manager?
Yes, and the owner has said when he made his deal, the owner said, "Look, I'll give you the carte blanche." And I'm not sure it's still in the contract, but it was at one point that you can do, you will have free say over your roster except these two particular players. If you want to move these guys, I have to have the ability to do it, to talk about it. So he has a president over top of him, but he reports directly to the owner. You can work around that.
Yeah, but what's the order? What's the chronology of events that takes place between now and the 31st of October?
But
if you wait till October 31st to hire,
no, but that's
a
what I'm saying, Bob. Then
do
you can
hire a general manager.
No, that's what you can do with Alex. You can say, "Look, Alex, do you want to be the if Rogers decides they want to extend Alex Anthopoulos?"
You keep going back to the presidency. What if they're not interested in him as the president?
That's not
what if they're just interested in hiring him as the general
manager? That's what I was going to say. You can say, "Alex, do you want to be the president?" No. Or, "Alex, we don't want you to be the president. We want you to be the GM." Okay, but you can work language in there that says, "This is what I'm entitled to do without permission from ownership." And, for example, this general manager in hockey has it in his contract that once he's given his budget, he has carte blanche over all decisions except he has to go to the owner if he wants
to trade.
Well, and
look, I'm only trying to make an example here. I don't think
you can do it.
I don't think Dave Dombrowski is a candidate for the Blue Jays job, and I think it's because he wants too much money. Not that I think Dombrowski is a bad guy. I think he's a good guy and a smart guy. But there's no if you're interested in Dave Dombrowski, you can't sign Alex Anthopoulos before you hire him, because Dombrowski wants both jobs. As whatever he feels about Toronto, and the fact that he was in Montreal before probably has absolutely nothing to do with this conversation, although people try and suggest, "Oh, well, he knows Canada." Nobody knows Canada, including the Prime Minister.
Nobody knows Canada like Bob McCowan.
So,
or Vegas.
Look, I think you're caught a bit between a rock and a hard place. What do you do first? What do you do now? Do you do nothing now and wait till till after the postseason? Do you hire the general manager and then hope the president is happy with the general manager? Do you wait on the general manager and hire a president and allow him to make the decision? In which case, Alex Anthopoulos is.
Gone? If we agree upon the
what's
fact
more
that
important,
but if we agree upon the fact that the president's main job would be business side, correct?
Yes,
right.
That's all he does.
Okay, so you know, is there somebody there now? I mean, does it have to be a massive figure that comes in as president?
No.
And so, if Alex, which we talked about earlier, all of a sudden now is this guy that his cachet has gone to that next level. Why, you know, why can't he be president and GM and you have that COO, executive VP, COO that runs the day-to-day from a business standpoint?
Tim
Leiwicki, then his wife can be down in Dunedin for 2 months in the winter. Like, it's perfect.
But if you think
would you let him stay as president of MLSE? Because apparently he's there for the rest of his life because they'll never find anybody who'll take the job.
Well, every time Elliot scoops them, they back out of him.
That was a weird situation.
Why do I keep getting thrown into this?
Bob, you know, honestly, I don't think it's as, like, the thing is, like, I think you're thinking about an old way that places used to work. It's ownership, president, GM, coach. I don't think it's like that anymore. I think there's all sorts of tentacles that move in other directions. I think there's, if you want to say, "Alex, we want to keep you and we want to extend you, how are we going to do this?" You can write language in that says, okay, technically
when are you doing that?
If you want to do it, you can do it now. You don't know that. If you want, you can do it right now.
Yeah.
You can just say to him, "Do you want to be the president?" "No, I don't want to be the president." Okay,
if you hire Alex Anthopoulos now.
Yes.
Which I would recommend.
Yes, I think we all would.
Does it, in your opinion, mitigate who you can get as your president?
No, because it depends on the language in the contract. If you say to a president, You're coming in here. You're going to run the business operations of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, but you're mandating job description.
And but you're, always just mandating, you're always mandating
but,
job
but it's
description.
It's going to eliminate a lot of guys.
Yeah, but you
but
know
Bob,
what, Bob?
Are you going to take
but
the
you're
job?
Already,
I don't want a guy
job?
In there.
Well,
sorry, I don't want. Sorry, I don't want a guy in there who's supposed to be a business guy who thinks he can oversee Alex Anthopoulos' baseball decisions.
And
that's not the guy I want.
And I think that that's...
I agree to that.
You know, I think that's where you start maybe looking at different individuals. I mean, do you need somebody coming in from a baseball side? I mean, is it just somebody that is a business guy that is, you know, working currently for the St. Louis Cardinals, or maybe he's working with the New York Yankees, or maybe he's working with the LA Dodgers, or maybe he's working in just a different industry. Maybe he's already worked in this town. Maybe he's already run an organization before in this city. You know, there could be a lot of different, you know, avenues in which you go down.
Wait a second. Who are you thinking of that's run an organization in this city?
Well, there's a few guys that have.
Were you thinking of Colangelo?
No. No, there's Tom Anselmi that's been, you know, that's run an organization in this town. There's Brian Colangelo that has. There's a lot of different people. There's you that has been mentioned on multiple occasions here today. But there are a lot of different people that are out there that you say, you know, are these the sort of individuals that would accept this role, that understand this marketplace? And I will say this, that understanding this marketplace to
I
me
think it's really important.
Is really important. I think it's so important. And I think that that's something that gets overlooked a lot.
One of the things that concerns me a little bit, and I understand, you know, there is a separation here, but Rogers, as the sole owner of the Blue Jays, happens to also be one of the majority owners, two majority owners of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment.
Yep.
MLSE has just gone on a ridiculous spending spree.
On executives.
On executives. And hired the superstar front office. Is the expectation on the part of the fan base, or maybe on the part of Rogers, that they now have to meet that same commitment in terms of the Toronto Blue Jays?
No way.
Bob, if the Blue Jays make the playoffs for the first time since 1993, does Alex Anthopoulos become a so-called superstar of the front office?
Well, he'd be one, but I mean, the presidency is the job that's really open here. And I'm not so sure. I think if you mentally go through the process of committing to all these high-profile and very expensive people in one organization, how do you turn around and nickel and dime another organization?
You know, Bob, I think fans vote what they want with their wallets.
Forget the fans.
No.
If you're Rogers.
No.
Rogers was at least a party to the hiring of the MLSE people.
Yes. But that's also at a time that was really down for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
What's the relevance?
The relevance is that one of the reasons you spend to go get people is because, A, you're convinced they're going to be better than the people you already have.
Yeah. Well, they've done that road more than once.
Or, B, you're doing it because you want to jolt your fan base and get them to buy, this team is not going to be good the next 2 years. Here's something shiny over there to distract you.
Look at the guys in the suits.
The fans right now of the Blue Jays are voting with their wallets and saying, we believe this in this guy's leadership.
Yep.
And the other thing, too, is, Bob, as you've talked about.
Well, they're saying they believe in the players that he's acquired.
Right. Absolutely. And I think I look at it and say, look, if you're saying that you've got to raise the budget for this team, why spend it on an executive when you've got a guy in place who won't cost you $8 to $10 million a year and people believe
you're still promoting
a good job?
Alex as president?
No. I don't necessarily think you've got to hire a president making $8 to $10 million. And I don't.
I can guarantee you.
I don't know that it has to be a high profile.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Just a good business guy.
Yeah. I'm wondering.
A good business guy.
I'm wondering.
We'll see.
I've raised the name Billy Bean repeatedly. I believe Alex, in fact, I know Alex would be thrilled to work with Billy, and Billy would be available. The other name that occurs to me as the second candidate for this job, and I have no idea whether he's even remotely interested, although he loves Toronto, is Stan Kasten. Now, he's the president of the Dodgers.
Would he live in your basement?
Friend of the show.
No, he'd live in the guest room, though. He's been there before, so.
And how are you as a landlord?
I'm pretty good.
Okay.
It ain't cheap, but it's nice accommodations.
Nice digs.
I don't think Kasten for a second would take the job. I think he's got to be excited about being in L.A. and thrilled. And I mean, you know, every morning Kasten wakes up, looks in the mirror and says, oh, you're beautiful. And I think in L.A. that fits perfectly. But he is an accomplished sports executive. And you'd have to, you know, he's going to be too expensive. But I think if you're going to, whoever you're going after.
Yep.
You better go after him now. You better get moving on this thing. If you wait till October 31st, this whole thing could unravel.
Question, Bob. If you go for Billy Beane, isn't he going to want to have his fingerprints on a lot of the transactions and the way the team is built?
I think it'd have to be a relationship with Alex, and Alex has indicated
Josh Donaldson casually would be thrilled with that.
That he wouldn't have the lead. Well, I don't know.
You know who would have been a good guy to do it, and it's a name that a lot of people wouldn't know, and he's not available now, is a guy by the name of Steve Griggs. And Steve Griggs is a guy who went to Wilfrid Laurier. He worked for Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment for a while. He worked with Michael Downey when it was still the Sky Dome.
Oh, yeah.
He's now in Tampa Bay, and he just took over as CEO for the organization after Tim's brother, Todd, left for the NFL.
Yeah, for the NFL.
So Steve Griggs just became the CEO of the Lightning, so he's not looking to move. But I can tell you, like, if he had still been in that number two or three position
in
Tampa,
there's a few
he
guys
might have
out
been
there.
A perfect guy to do it.
There's a few Canadians out there. And, I mean, I look at, hey, there's another issue. Is it important to have a Canadian in that job? I mean, we haven't even addressed that.
I think you want your best person.
I do think, as somebody that moved here with his family and live here all year round, I do think it's important that that you're a part of the community. I do think that that's important. I don't care where you're from, but I do think that that's important.
Well, if you don't know the community, you better integrate yourself real quickly. And you better not put yourself on an island and say, I can't wait to get back to wherever I was.
Yeah, for sure.
It isn't just a place to work. I mean, my issue with the president of the Toronto Maple Leafs isn't the job he's done or his lack of experience. It's that he hasn't moved here. That's, as a Torontonian, that's important to me. Mm-hmm. I would think you made the move.
I did. I made the move, and it's
I would
been
think that would
move.
Be important for you too.
Absolutely.
Like, I want to sit down with him and say, Shanny, like, why?
Yeah.
I'm sure you love New York. I'm sure your family is happy there. But you work here. You represent us in this community, in this sport. I want you in this town. I want you to understand exactly what all of us are talking about on a daily basis. And I think there's a level of importance, just to speak to your point of a local guy, experienced or otherwise, whether they've gone somewhere else or stayed in the
and that's why I say I don't know if it matters, you know, what country they're from, but are you willing to come here and be a part of, you know, the community? I think that's something that's important.
There's a baseball game waiting for us in about a half an hour. We'll drop baseball for the moment and talk about a couple of other things quickly when we come back. It's the Roundtable on Primetime. This is the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We end the show early because this conversation has just degenerated into ridiculousness. Elliot is waxing eloquent about seeing Duran Duran in 1983 when he was 13 years old.
First concert I ever went to, Duran Duran, the Payola's Open. They shot the Reflex video at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Who cares? Yeah.
Is that you on the stage then?
No.
A la Courtney Cox and Bruce Springsteen?
No, I could definitely not. No.
Okay.
You want to know the first concert I went to? I can beat Duran Duran.
Glenn Miller Band?
Oh, very funny. No.
Now you are on Tim and Sid.
The Beatles.
Nice. Yeah. Is that the one where...
How do you get better than that?
You can't.
Top that one.
I went to Elvis. First concert ever.
No.
That's pretty good.
May 1977.
Might have beat me.
Elvis.
Elvis Costello.
May 1977.
Just in time, too.
Just in time in Binghamton, New York.
Two or three months later, it's over.
Absolutely.
He died in 77.
It was 77. Yeah, May 24th. I think it was the exact date of May 24th, 1977, Binghamton, New York.
Like I said, Elvis Costello, right?
No, Elvis Presley.
The other guy.
I will concede that
that
the Beatles.
That was Fat Elvis, right?
It was, but you know what? He was good, man.
I will concede the Beatles and Elvis Presley narrowly edge out Duran.
Duran.
Yes, I will concede that.
You've been pretty quiet. You're embarrassed to tell us who your first concert was.
I think it was.
You don't even remember? Sorry, you don't
know. No, I went to a hockey. Bob, I grew up in Scarborough. It might have been Rush. It might have been.
Well, that'd be all right.
Anybody.
Nothing wrong
of
with
that
Rush.
Of that genre. You were a headbanger at one time
I
from
never
Scarborough.
Was a
come
headbanger.
On.
Bite
from
your tongue.
Winston Churchill days? Come on, Bob.
Bite your tongue. interesting story. Austin Matthews, top prospect.
Yeah, could be number one pick next year.
Has decided to play professionally in Switzerland instead of playing in the NCAA or junior. Is this a trend that we might see develop over the years?
You know, I'm curious about it because we saw it happen in the NBA a few years ago.
Brandon Jennings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a kid named Jeremy Tyler went to Israel.
Yeah, and it hasn't worked. Well, it didn't work out for Taylor. Yeah. Tyler, pardon me. And Brandon Jennings, it worked out. However, you know, when you look at it from a game-by-game statistical standpoint, from a minutes played standpoint, that aspect of it didn't work out.
Mm. But, you know, Bob, I think that everyone's going to be watching. I mean, the kid's apparently going to make $400K next year. If he's successful at it, I can certainly see a lot more kids trying it.
I don't think so. And I go back to... you're now playing, you're going to be 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing against men. And not only that, but you're going to be playing for a coach that wants things done a certain way. I mean, that to me would be the part of it from a development standpoint. I understand that you're going to make $400,000, mm-hmm. but Austin Matthews, by all accounts, is going to make a lot of money in his career if he stays healthy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who is his coach?
Mark Crawford.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark Crawford. And how is he going to be used? That to me is extremely important from a development standpoint.
I would bet all of, like, they've been discussing this for a while, and the issue was clearing, like, the immigration issues into Switzerland. I have no doubt all of that stuff has been
handled. It wasn't handled with Brandon Jennings.
Yeah. That could be true. I mean, maybe that's the difference. I'm sure all that stuff has been
discussed. But if this guy is a potential number one pick, and let's not go any further than that.
Yeah.
Let's just put him in the conversation.
Yep.
Could he substantially hurt himself by being that far away out of the mainstream? These people in hockey are a bunch of robots. They only know one way to do things. Go to a junior game, look at the kid, make an evaluation.
Initially, I thought that it was a move that he was at least talking about in order to hopefully force a trade from Everett, which we saw with Popeye Jones's son, Seth Jones.
Yeah.
You know, did not, you know, the decision was, do I go to North Dakota or do I play for Everett? And at that time, he didn't really want to go to North Dakota and didn't want to play for Everett, and ultimately a trade with the Portland Winterhawks. So initially I thought, well, maybe this is that scenario once again, but clearly it isn't. And you wonder if you're sitting there, if you're Everett, if you're not picking up the phone saying, hey, look at, you know, where do you want to go and let's make this happen so I can get some draft picks, you know, headed back my way.
I think there was a lot of pressure behind the scenes on Everett. I think there were, you know, he said publicly, this is not about getting traded from Everett. It's about something different.
Yep.
And
what's the something different? Making money.
Well, yeah, and going to Switzerland. Absolutely. But, you know, Bob, I think this day and age, you got a lot of international scouts. Yeah. People are going to go watch this guy. I can't tell you how many kids.
I guess, but the quality of competition, they're going to have to try and weigh the apple versus the orange.
I think
I'll tell you, it's money now, but...
Is it that much inferior because you are playing against men than it is playing NCAA hockey?
Who knows?
And that's not a...
Who knows?
Don't get me wrong. That's not a diss against the NCAA. But
what is the difference? Talk to 10 people and they'll give you 10 different answers.
The one thing I would say to Elliot's point is that maybe 10 to 15 years ago, when the staffs weren't as big, when the technology wasn't there, that maybe... it would be a problem. But right now, the entire Europe is scouted so thoroughly that I think it's not going to be an issue.
We'll have this conversation a year from now if I invite any of you back. For Friedman, Zeisberger, and Devlin McCown, have a nice weekend. Enjoy the ball game. What a weekend. Good night from Toronto.